All right, well, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And our theme tonight is going to be around the idea of men, but I think everybody and all of you who are listening can take the big idea out of it. And I want to start with this because I think this happens quite often in our culture and in our time, that there's this idea of this self-made man. And I think that happens to us guys. We think, oh, I got to do it by myself. I got to figure it out myself. And so that is why before we ask for help, we will watch a YouTube video and we will have the car torn apart and our wives will be freaking out. That's what happens because we have this notion that I got to figure this out myself. Somehow I'm less of a man if I can't figure it out by myself and need to ask for help. And there's this I'll do it myself mentality, I think, that happens. And if we'd be honest, it's just not true. Pick up any biography of somebody you think, oh, they did it all by themselves. And that biography is filled with people who helped them, who encouraged them, who helped them take the next step. They had a team around them that you never knew those people, but they really are the ones who are responsible for their success. And I think that's just an important thing to remember. The thing that happens when this kind of kicks in and kind of gets into our life is the next thing happens, and that is alone equals vulnerable. And I don't think we understand that. When we're alone, we are more vulnerable. We're more vulnerable to think stuff that's just not true and let that just kind of into our heads and get us to make bad decisions based on the things that are in our heads. We're just more vulnerable. We're vulnerable to outside influences. We're vulnerable to lots of different things when we're alone. And I think especially in these days, it's been very easy to think we're all alone. In fact, if you didn't go through this time and didn't think for a moment, man, am I the only one who thinks this way? I'm the only one who's just trapped in this, shutdown time. You're not the only one. And that's kind of what I want to venture into tonight and talk about and why I wanted that worship song right before we open the word is that we need to remember that we are not alone. So in my year-long Bible reading, I'm doing it this year chronologically. You ought to do this because it's really, really helpful because you'll bump into things every day that God just puts in your path that you're like, oh, I really needed that today. So I'm doing chronological, and I bumped into this passage about a week ago, okay? And this is Elijah. And Elijah has had this incredible moment on Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal have been defeated, and he's had this huge victory, and Jezebel looks at him and says, I'm coming after you. You're going to be dead. And that just scared him. And he took off running. He went far away, and here's one of the things that he said, okay? He said, the Israelites have abandoned the covenant they made with you, okay? They torn down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and now they want to take my life. Part of what was going on with Elijah, why he was in the state of mind he was in, because he thought, I'm in this all by myself. What am I going to do? I am in this all by myself. What am I going to do? I am the only one left, and now they're after me. And God is so gracious and so kind and so good to him that he walks him through several different things. And here's one of the things that God says back to him. He says something to Elijah that Elijah did not know, and that was this. I still have left 7,000 followers who have not bowed their knee to Baal or kissed the images of him. Elijah's like, wow, that's a lot beside me. I thought I was all alone. I thought I did this all by myself. And God goes, no, there's 7,000. There's a term for this that I think is important for us to remember. And the term is the word remnant. There is always a remnant. There is always a group of people who are following God despite what you see. And I don't know about you, but I've just had to train myself. Don't watch the news. Jill will tell you the other night I had it on for 5 minutes and I'm griping and complaining and I can't believe they said this and right. And I know she's thinking, just turn it off, right? Just turn it off, do something else. And I just get caught up in that too because I think, am I the only one? Am I the only one? No, there's always a remnant. There are always people who are following God. There's always a group of people who are doing what is right. If you think you're all by yourself, you think you're the only one, there's always a group of people that are doing it right, okay? This is what we tend to think. Nobody's following Jesus. Everyone has abandoned God. I'm just the only one out here all by myself, and it's just lonely out here, and I don't know if I can make it, if I can do it. And what I want to say, especially to the men, is that there is always a remnant. You are not alone. You are not in this by yourself. Okay? You're not the only one who is trying to do things right, who is trying to lead their family, who's trying to follow Jesus, who's trying to do the right things. You are not the only one. That is just a lie. There is always a remnant. And to show you this, Paul picks up this very idea in Romans chapter 11. He picks up this very idea of there's always a remnant. And he's got to remind the people in Rome who are probably gathered in houses and sitting in circles or however they gathered in the house. And some of the Jewish believers there went and said, I guess I'm all alone, right? Nobody from Israel's following Jesus. They all don't think he's the Messiah. And so he needs to write to them and he needs to remind them of this very truth. There's always a remnant. You are not doing this all by yourself. You are not in this all alone. And so in Romans chapter 11, we're just going to look at the first few verses. I want you to see what Paul says to them. He says, so I ask, God has not rejected his people, has he? Meaning the Israelites. Absolutely not. For he says, I'm an Israelite. I'm a descendant of Abraham, and I am from the tribe of Benjamin. Saying, I'm in that boat. Okay? I'm there. Okay? And he continues. He says, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture said about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? And it's the same verse. I'm like, isn't this interesting? Okay? Lord, they have done what? They've killed your prophets. They've demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. That was Paul's paraphrase of it. Elijah's like, I'm it. Okay? You guys remember that passage? He's taking them back to when they would sit in synagogue and hear this story, okay? And then he said, but what was the divine response to that? I have kept for myself 7,000 people who have not bent the knee to Baal. Elijah, you're not alone. There's other people. And that's what he needs to remind them of as well. There, you are not alone. You're not the only one in this fight. So he says, so in the same way, at the present time, and here's our word, there is a remnant chosen by grace. There are people. It is more than you, okay? Paul said, I'm in this thing. It's more than just us even. There is a remnant. There's always a remnant. Always people who are following God and doing the right thing, no matter what you hear around you, no matter what you think, no matter what the enemy whispers in our ear, we are not the only ones. He continues, and if it is by grace, it is no longer by works. Otherwise, grace would be no longer be grace. Grace wouldn't be grace. Do you know why he's got to say this? Because there's a tendency to say, oh, I'm the only one following God? Wow. You people are all going to you know where, right? It's just easy then to lose our humility, get proud. And he says, I don't want you to do that. Do you understand you're a part of this remnant? If you are doing what is right and you are following Jesus, that is all because of the grace of God. And I want you to understand that's God's grace. Don't think this is you. Don't think you're amazing. No. Put it all to God. It's all God. It's all Him. It is all His grace that is at work in our lives. And I think one of the key things He wants to say to them is this. Remnants, remember, we're here by grace. You are not in this alone, and if you are doing the right thing, if you are following Jesus, I want you to know you are on this path because of grace. Don't get proud. Don't think you got it all figured out. Be humble, but understand this is the grace of God at work in your life, and keep going down that road. And here, in fact, is what he's saying to them. Not everyone has abandoned God. I know it might look that way, and you may think that from time to time. I'm the only one. Not everyone has abandoned the gospel for the enticements of this world. Yeah, but it just looks like everybody has. No, they haven't. I know, it's so easy. And if the enemy can get us to think that, you know what we'd end up doing? I quit. I give up. You know? And it's not that we might just give into those enticements. We might do what Elijah did. Can you just take me now? Just take me now. I've had enough of this. I'm the only one. I'm the only one doing any of this. So, this would be nice, right? Pump up no, this is great. We're part of this remnant. We're part of it by grace. So how do we live? For all the men out there, how do we live? If we're part of this remnant, we're part of it by grace, we're trying to do the right thing, we're trying to follow Jesus in the midst of, you know, all the chaos and everything else that's going on around us, from where it looks, nobody at work seems to be doing that. A lot of my family doesn't seem doing that. They seem to laugh at me because I'm following Jesus. How do we live in spite of that? So I've told you all before, I get together with a group of pastors, and sometimes it's three of us, and sometimes it was five of us. And so this last week, it was five of us, and we're sitting together, and we're talking about different things. And the book of 2 Timothy came up. So in 2 Timothy, all the scholars believe this is the last thing that Paul wrote. He either wrote it, he dictated it, but this is the last thing that got written down that Paul said. And the last thing he wanted to say it to his son, his spiritual son, Timothy. Because Paul got this idea that there is family of birth and family of new birth. That Timothy wasn't his actual son, but because they were both part of the family of God, he was his son. And Paul took responsibility to help him and encourage him and help him take the next steps. So isn't it interesting that Father Paul decides, I'm going to pour into my son. If we can, the last words I got left before I go before Nero and he asks me again, okay, just bow the knee and call me Caesar, call me God. And Paul's going to say no, and he's going to take Paul away to have his head chopped off. Okay, before that's coming up, he says, I need to say some things to Timothy. I need to say something to Timothy. And he either penned these or he got someone else to pen them and get them to Timothy. And these words are incredible. Now, there's more in this than that. There's a few verses before. There's several verses after. It's like the final charge at the end of this letter that he writes Timothy. But you got to hear some of these words. They're incredible. They're just incredible. They were incredibly encouraging to me, and I thought, if I can just encourage you to keep going in the midst of everything that's going on, perhaps these are words that will encourage us. Look at this first one. Now, in fact, all who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Like, wow, there's some encouragement. Timothy's probably like, really? Okay. Yes, he's saying this as he's getting carried away, and he's going to face the ultimate persecution. That Nero's going to take his life. Sometimes persecution isn't that hard. Sometimes it's just standing up in the workplace and just saying no to certain opportunities that come our way that aren't good, that aren't helpful, that aren't going to help us live a godly life. And that's what he's just saying. Listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're just going to come in at points where you're going to be at odds with somebody else. And you're going to have to say no to some things. You're just going to have to. You're just going to have to say no to some things. Yeah, but can't I do everything? Well, yeah. Then don't follow Jesus, okay? Because that's what he's saying. There are going to be times where you have to say no. No, not going to do that. That's what got Paul where he was at. Paul, just admit, Nero would say, I'm Caesar, I'm God, bow before me. Nope, sorry. Sorry, Nero, won't do it. Can't do it. And so he understands this idea, and I'm just going to tell you, to live a godly life, you're going to be at odds with people who aren't. You just are. Don't be nasty about it. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to face persecution. That's why he goes there. He says, just understand, Timothy, as you live this way, you're going to come to odds with people. And maybe Paul had no idea that about 35 years after he wrote this, that Timothy would be killed in the streets of Ephesus. For doing just that. Nope, not worshiping Dionysus, not being part of that festival. Nope. That's a false god. I worship the one true God, and you should worship that God too. Maybe he knew that later on Timothy would pay that same price. He continues, but evil people and charlatans will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. He's just saying, listen, you just need to understand, there's going to be people, they have nothing to do with Jesus, okay? And they're going to go from bad to worse. It's not they're going to get better. Do you know when people get better? People get better when they confront the gospel and they confess their sins and repent and get back to the life that God has created for them, that's when they get better. Evil just has one direction, and it's bad to worse. It just is. And that's what he's saying. Do you understand? These people aren't going to get better all by themselves. Okay? What's going to make a difference in their life is the gospel. What's going to make a difference in their life is Jesus and coming face to face with their Savior who laid his life down for them. That's what's going to change them. So you need to understand, there's going to be evil people, there's going to be fakers, charlatans, they're going to go from bad to worse, they're going to deceive others, they're being deceived themselves, thinking they're doing the right thing and going in the right direction when they're really not. But then he says, you, however, must continue in the things you have learned and are confident about. This is where our growth, men, is so important. If you're not getting the word into your life, on a daily basis, I would contend, at least 3-4 times a week, if you can't fit it in every day, this is what happens. We have to be confident about what we've learned so we can walk in that. And that's what he's going to tell Timothy here. Timothy, remember what you've learned. Remember what you've learned. Now walk in that. Be confident in that. In fact, look what he says next. You know who taught you. And how from infancy, so he's going back to his family, and Paul mentions at one point his mom and his grandma, who had a huge influence in his life, you have known the holy writings from infancy, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy, happened a long, long, long time ago. You know that. You know that. That's what has made all the difference in your life, what you've known. And do you understand? So for all dads, this is why it's so important we find a way to make sure this is getting into our kids' life at an early age and building it up in them. That made all the difference for Timothy. He had that foundation from infancy up where he followed Jesus, he knew scripture. And so now the passage that I'm about to read is one that some of you have heard before, some of you have memorized it before. I want you to think about it in this context, the context that Paul wrote it in, that he wrote it to somebody that he was leaving this encouragement to and saying, now, here's the thing that's going to help you the most. And here it is. Every scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work. Now, this is great. I memorized this before, but when you understand this in the context which Paul wrote it, and he's just building up, he says, now, Timothy, you know what's going to make all the difference? You know what's going to help you? What's going to help you is if you get scripture into your life, because you're going to need teaching. Because you're going to be like, how do I handle these people? He gets to Ephesus and he marches in and he finds this whole group of people who are believing such strange things. And he's going to go, okay, Paul, help me here. You know, scriptures, help me here to figure this out. For reproof, because sometimes we get things wrong. And for correction, because sometimes we're just wrong. And you know what corrects us? Scripture corrects us. It says, hey, you're off. You're going down the wrong road. This is the story of the book of Acts that we don't quite often, you know, read and get a hold of. That Peter, who refused to step into a house of a Gentile. You know what changed Peter? God did. Peter, what are you doing? Why are you calling something I created unclean? What are you doing? And when Peter walks in that house, it's an unbelievable scene where he's just confessing, yeah, this is what I thought. I thought you were all unclean and God really had to straighten me out. Because sometimes we get it wrong and we need correction. Where do we get that correction from? We get that correction from Scripture. For training in righteousness, how do we know what the right thing to do is? We get trained in it. We get trained in it through Scripture. That the person dedicated to God, the person who, remember, yeah, but I'm all alone and nobody else. Nope, there's always a remnant. May be capable and equipped for every good work. And that is why you have got to find a way to get this into your life on a daily basis. You have to. Because otherwise, where are you going to get the correction when you get off track? Like all of us do. We all do. Because we've all sinned. Nobody's perfect. We drift. Well, what's going to get you back on track? Scripture. What's going to help you to know what the right thing to do is in a situation where everybody else seems to be going one way and I don't know if I should do that? Oh, Scripture. That's what's going to help me to make the right decision in all of this. So that's my encouragement. You are not alone. We are in this together, marching in the same direction, trying to follow Jesus. I know it's easy. The news tells us so many different things. And so if I can try to sum this up, that what's Paul trying to get Timothy prepared for to do living in the world he's living in? I would say these four things. First, we need our eyes opened. Okay? Our eyes open, first of all, means we're not in this alone. Timothy, you're not in this alone. Elijah, you're not in this alone. Okay? Paul had to understand that. He wasn't in this alone. At times, he thought that. There's always a remnant. Okay? There are people who are doing the right thing and who are following. And sometimes we just need to ask God to open our eyes. It's been the most helpful for me when I gather together with our pastor friends and we talk through different things. To go, oh, I'm not the only one who thought that, right? I'm not the only one who thinks this. I'm not the only one trying to figure this out. And we're able to do it together. And sometimes we just need our eyes open to know that we are not alone. Sometimes we need to open our mouths. And for that, I go back to Paul. What did he say to Nero? No. No. Sorry, Nero. No. You're not God. I'm not bowing to you. What did Timothy do in the crowded Ephesus? Nope. Nope, that's a false God, not going there. And sometimes we just have to know, men, that there are things to say no to. No. Nope, not true. Not true. I was watching this week, and I thought this was really encouraging, that a group of Jewish elders in New York had their playground to their school padlocked, and you know they're making appeals to the mayor of New York City, and it's not going anywhere, and he's telling them no, you know, you're not essential, but other things are. And they went down, the elders, with bolt cutters and said no, sorry Mr. Mayor, no. And I know everybody's like, oh my goodness. They got to a point where they said, wait a minute. You're going to let everything else go. And we can't. And think there's this little clause called religious liberty. I don't know. It's in a document somewhere. It's a couple hundred years old. I think I remember that. And they just said no. Now I have no idea what's going to happen to them. Okay? But, you know, they are not doing anything reckless or they're just... No. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes in the world, you just have to say no. Nope. Nope. And, you know, for anybody in the room who is a teenager, the only person you like to say no to is your parents, right? Okay, let's just be honest, right? That's the person you like to say no to. But to say no to the people around you who are asking you to do things you know you shouldn't do, that's really hard. So I think, men, we need to know and say no. No. No, we're not doing that. Nope, we're not participating in that. No, I'm not going along with that. No, I'm not bowing to that. Number three, we need our lives open. What does that look like? That looks like community. That looks like the thing that you're going to hear me talk about next week when I talk about church more. This idea that I don't think we've done very well, that I wish we could figure out, and I'm going to continue to run at it and try to figure it out. How we help people have community so you know that you're not alone. And I think at times we just made this thing called community too hard and too difficult, and it doesn't have to be that hard. It has to be people who are going in the same direction, that it doesn't matter if, you know, if you're sitting in a room together or out fishing together, you can talk about, hey, I got the struggle at home. What do you think? And you can open your lives up to each other. That alone makes us vulnerable. And we need to open up our lives to the people around us that God has given to us, that remnant chosen by grace, going in that same direction. And the last thing, we need our Bibles open. Because how much correction and instruction has God been trying to give us that we've just been missing out on? Yeah, but this person on TV said, right? And that's me now, right? So you have to check yourself constantly. Am I saying the right things? Am I doing the right things? Because that's what happens. And I'm just telling you, I'm amazed that over the last 5 years, how many guys I had a lot of respect for, I have their books, have just, and I'm like, what happened? What happened? Well, somewhere, this got closed. Just the only thing that makes sense to me. Somewhere along the line, this got closed. This got closed, something else got opened, and that got followed. This got left behind. And every time this gets closed, and it's not having impact and influence in our life, we will drift. We will end up doing things we will ultimately regret, and we'll end up in places we don't want to be every single time. So don't do that. Men, open your eyes to the people around you who are going in the same direction. Open your mouths. There are times to say no. Open your lives to the men around you that God has placed there who are going in the same direction. And open up your Bibles to get some instruction and correction about going in the same direction and knowing what God has called you to do. Following Jesus is not a journey made to be traveled alone. And every time we do it, it's trouble. So that's what I want to just leave you with. This understanding that there's always a remnant. There's always a remnant chosen by grace. You are not the only one. And we can go in a direction that honors God and pleases God. We can live our lives that way. So let me pray for you. Let me pray for us that we would recognize that we would know when to open our mouths, when to close them, when what to how to get scripture better in our life, to what men to open our lives up to. Let's just pray and ask God to give us wisdom in that. Heavenly Father, I think quite often we feel like Elijah, sitting on the side of a brook going, I guess I'm in this all by myself. Nobody seems to be doing the right thing. We just get so overwhelmed and so discouraged. That normally leaves us just to want to quit. So easy to think everybody else is. And it's so easy for us to believe that lie. So I would pray that you would help us to remember we are not alone. There is always a remnant chosen by grace. And you have put some of those men all around us. May we open our lives to them so that we can get instruction and help when we need it the most. Would you, Heavenly Father, tear down this notion of somehow it's better if we do it alone? It's not. Alone we are vulnerable. Together we are so much stronger. I would pray for all the men who are discouraged, thinking they're in it all by themselves. I would pray for all those out there, men and women who are thinking they're all alone. There's always a remnant, and you are always at work in the world in which we live. So help us remember that, and help us to see that you are at work. Help us to know when to open our mouths and when to keep them shut. Help us to see the people you put around us. Help them to open our lives to those people, and help us most to open up your word and get direction that we desperately need. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Join us next week when we're talking more about church and this whole idea of community.